The purpose of Jesus Christ was to honor and glorify the Father while he was here on this earth. And that must be our purpose as well. Whatsoever we do, doing it all to the glory of the Father.
Hello, this is Pastor Paul Chappell on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you for joining us for today's podcast. It's my prayer that the Bible teaching and preaching you are about to hear will be a blessing to you in your Christian walk, and that because of your time in the Word of God today, you will draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Years ago, there was a film that perhaps some of you saw, several of them, and the title was Star Wars, and they talked about the Force, and they talked about the dark side, and many folks would talk about the powers of the Force, the powers of the dark side. And I suppose in some ways they trivialized the reality that there is a Satan, a devil in this world. There is a devil that is fighting everything good about our God. And I believe this morning, as we gather here in this place, we need to recognize that the force of good and the force of evil is not just good makings for a movie in Hollywood, but in reality this morning, the devil is fighting against the works of Almighty God. Even as we sit in this place today, for ages, satanic forces have rebelled against the Lord. You go back into the Bible in Isaiah chapter 14 and you'll find that Lucifer led 1/3 of the angelic beings to revolt and rebel against God, and that his demons have been working ever since to fight against the plan of redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see it in the Garden of Eden, as Satan came and tempted Adam and Eve. And then we see the devil as he fights the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the earthly ministry, even tempting the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4. When we come to John chapter 8, we see in the early portions of this chapter, Jesus Christ presenting himself as the light of the world. Not a light, such as the New Age movement would speak about, but the light of the world. Jesus Christ has presented himself as the bread of life, as the light of the world, as the door of salvation. But as he presents the message of salvation, again, Satan fights against him, and wicked men stand in opposition to the teaching of Jesus Christ. Although this is now at the latter portion of the public ministry of Jesus, the fighting of Satan has not relented. Notice, if you would, in verse 40 of John chapter 8, you'll get a little glimpse concerning the battle of which I speak this morning. The Bible says in verse 40, "But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." You see in that very verse that there were those, even before Calvary, even before Jesus went up the hill of the skull and died on the cross, there were those who would have killed Jesus Christ. They hated him and they hated what he said. The enemies of Jesus even accuse him in verse 48 of having a devil. Notice that in verse 48. "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" They said the same thing of Jesus, of John the Baptist in Matthew 11, 18. They said, "He hath a devil." Now let me have your attention. This is a very important week for Lancaster Baptist Church. We are encouraging our members, maybe one or two nights this week, and everyone on Saturday morning to come together, that we might go out into this valley, and we have a simple goal this week, that every home in Lancaster and Palmdale will receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to go everywhere with the gospel, and to every home inviting people to come next Sunday morning to the open house to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want you to mark something down in your mind. That is that not everyone will appreciate the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There might be someone who looks down on you at work. Don't be embarrassed about that, by the way. There might be someone who's not friendly to you at the door if you knock on their door. By the way, predominantly in this community, we receive a warm reception. But from time to time, we are not well received. May I simply say to you that Jesus Christ was not well received. And they said, "He has a devil." And they said, we would like to kill him. And I want you to mark this down in your mind today, that Satan has fought the cause of Christ since the beginning of time. Oh, we want that type of Christianity many times where it's just kind of easy to be a Christian, and as long as everything's fine, I'll be faithful. As long as no one's critical of me, as long as no one's bothering me, I'll be faithful as a Christian. But you see, the fact is that Christianity many times involved facing the opposition of the wicked one. Now, with that context of John chapter 8, understanding that Jesus was facing opposition, we come to the time where we understand his purpose in ministry. And I want you to notice as we begin this morning, the purpose of the Savior. The purpose of the Savior. The Bible says in verse 48 that they accused him of having a devil. And in verse 49, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. Now here we see the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. His purpose in ministry was not to fight with his detractors. It was not to argue with his detractors. He did not come to win an argument. He did not come simply to have his way. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:23, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. May I say that we do not go out this week to win an argument, to prove a point, or to have our way. This was not the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ in ministry. His purpose on this earth was to honor the Heavenly Father. That was why he came. And that is why godly Christians today exist. That is, that we may honor the Heavenly Father. Notice Jesus did not seek his own glory. The Bible says of Jesus in Matthew 3 and verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And it was the will of Jesus Christ and the purpose of Jesus Christ to honor and glorify the Father. Now he did this in the midst of unbelievers. And there were many about him who rejected his claims of Messiahship. There were many about him who rejected the fact that he alone could be the way, the truth, and the life. But the Bible says in verse number 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. There were those who simply could not see the value of Christ. They could not appreciate the eternal riches in glory of Jesus Christ. And it is that way even today. There are those who choose a bottle over Jesus, and those who choose immorality rather than Jesus, and those who choose false religion rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, there was a man living in a cabin in North Carolina, in the hills of North Carolina. He went down to the creek one day on a walk, and he saw there in the creek a large rock, and he said, that's a pretty rock. He said, I'm going to bring that back and make it the stepping stone into my cabin. And so he brought it back to his cabin and put it there as a stepping stone. And for years, he would step on that stone and up into his cabin. One day, another fellow was walking on the trail not far from his cabin. This man was a geologist. And he noticed the beauty of the rock. And he got a little bit closer to the cabin. He got a little closer to the rock. And he saw that this rock, in fact, was a huge lump of gold. In fact, the story is told that it was one of the largest pieces of gold east of the Rocky Mountains. Here was a man who for many years was stepping on a large chunk of gold to get into his cabin year after year, not realizing the value of that precipice upon which he stepped day after day. Now, may I say to you that that is exactly how these men were viewing Christ. Here he was, the creator of the world, the Son of God, and yet they could not appreciate the value of Jesus Christ. My friend, if you're saved and on your way to heaven today, do you understand that the Son of God left heaven and died on a cross and shed his blood that you might have eternity in heaven? Don't take that for granted. The eternal riches of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, in the midst of unbelievers, Jesus Christ told the truth about who he was and about the will of God for their life. I was in the San Francisco airport this past Wednesday on our way home, and we'll share tonight a wonderful report of what God did overseas last week. But as we were coming home, I was there in the airport, and I told my wife, I said, honey, look at that man over there. Saw a nicely dressed man with a hat on, black cap. And I said, I believe that's Willie Brown there. Now, for those of you that have grown up in California, you know the name Willie Brown. Willie Brown was the Speaker of the House in Sacramento and the mayor of San Francisco. And Willie Brown has stood for years and years on the opposite page of Bible-believing Christians. And so I saw him there. And I said, honey, give me a brochure from the church. I'm going to go speak to him. And I went over and I introduced myself. I said, hello, Mr. Brown. I'm a Baptist preacher from Lancaster, California. And I wanted to just come by and give you this. And I just wanted to tell you that I believe Jesus Christ is the answer for the need of our state and for our life. And I shared briefly with him about Christ. And then I said to him, I want to also mention to you, sir, about Proposition 8. I said, there's a proposition coming. I said, do you think we could get you to support marriage between a man and a woman? I said, I want to encourage you. He said, in fact, I'm going to speak right now in USC. Tonight I'm speaking against that very thing. And I said, I'd just like to mention to you, sir, from the Bible. I said, the Bible says in the book of Genesis that God created the man and then the woman, and the first marriage was between a man and woman. I said, sir, that was God's design. I said, we're about ready to get on an airplane over here. I said, this airplane has been designed by the engineers. There are certain specifications that must be followed for this airplane to get up in the air. And if those specifications are tampered with, destruction could come to the lives of hundreds of people. I said, sir, the fact of the matter is that I don't want anybody going out and tampering with that airplane and just kind of making their own version of it just before I get on it. I want to make sure that everything the engineers designed is followed accurately before I get on that plane. And I said, I want you to understand that if we start tampering with God's design on the family, and if we start letting the Supreme Court in California just change it around the way we want it, we're asking for destruction in our state. He listened kindly. I don't know the effect of that visit with him, but I know this, that whenever we have opportunity to witness for Christ, or to be the salt and light of this earth, that it is incumbent upon us, it is our responsibility, even in the midst of unbelievers, that we stand and proclaim the truth. And it may not be easy, and it may not be popular, but we must speak the truth in love in this needy day in which we live. In the midst of unbelievers, Jesus spoke the truth. And may I say, in the midst of dishonor, Jesus spoke the truth. The Bible says in verse 48, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Now here we see the Jews insulting Jesus Christ, and they were literally referring to him as a national enemy, if you will, by calling him a Samaritan. And sometimes you will not be honored by people because you were faithful to the Lord. And may I remind you, we're not to look for honor from this world. We're to look for it when we come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. But here they dishonor the Lord. I believe it's likely that if Jesus were here today on this earth, he may be viewed upon by some as a criminal. There would be many who would not appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the Food and Drug Administration would be unhappy with him for turning water into wine without a license, perhaps. The EPA would be unhappy with him for killing fig trees, and the American Medical Association for practicing medicine without a license. And the Department of Health perhaps would be unhappy for the fact that he would ask for graves to be opened and he would raise the dead and he would feed 5,000 people in unsanitary situations without a license from the health department. I believe the National Educators Association would hate him for many reasons, but one of them would be perhaps teaching without a certificate, and OSHA would be upset with him for walking on the water without a life vest, and the SPCA would be upset with him for driving the hogs into the sea, and the National Board of Psychiatrists would be upset with him for offering a guilt-free religion, and the National Association of Women would be upset with him for choosing 12 apostles and not one of them was a woman, and the Interfaith Council would be upset with him for simply saying that all the other religions were wrong. I'm telling you, my friend, I believe this morning. If Jesus were in America today, he probably would not be the most popular preacher around. But even in the midst of that, Even in the midst of unpopularity on earth, people calling him a devil, people wanting to kill him, still he proclaimed his desire was to honor and glorify the Heavenly Father. But notice, secondly, his purpose was not only to honor the Father, it was to glorify the Heavenly Father. To honor the Father and to glorify the Heavenly Father. Now notice this in verse 50. The Bible speaks of it. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Now, Jesus said, I'm not striving for my glory. I am simply recognizing that God will be the judge. There is one that judgeth, and it is God, the Heavenly Father. And he glorified the Father in two ways. First, he glorified the Father by doing the Father's works. And if you and I want to glorify the Father this week, may we be busy about the Father's business. May we do his works. John chapter 8 and verse 29. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now look right here for a moment. Would you like to honor God this week? Would you like your life to bring honor and glory to him? John 8, 29. Do always those things that please him. Single adults in your dating life, please him and you will glorify him. Married couples in your married life, please him in the way you treat one another. Workers at work, please him in the way you live your life. John 5, 36, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do. Jesus glorified the Father by doing the works of the Father. He glorified the Father, secondly, by speaking the words of the Father. John 12 and verse number 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he hath given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Do you see it with me? The purpose of Jesus Christ was to honor and glorify the Father while he was here on this earth. And that must be our purpose as well. Whatsoever we do, doing it all to the glory of the Father. Johannes Bach was a famous composer. No doubt you've heard the name. At the bottom of every one of his songs, he would place the letters SDG. Those letters signifying soli de gratia, or totally and only to the glory of God. To God be the praise for every song he authored, for every song he composed. He said, I have this one purpose, that God would receive all the praise for this song. May I say tomorrow, whether you're putting an airplane together, or whether you're building a house, or whether you're cleaning a room or changing a tire, or whatever you do, that you would do it all to the glory of your God, and that you would be the best you can be, not for your glory, but for his glory. And so that when someone says to you, good job, you can say, thanks to the Lord. You can deflect the praise to the one who has saved you. That was the purpose of Jesus Christ. But notice, if you would, secondly, the promise of Jesus Christ. In verse 51, he gives a promise to those unbelievers who gathered around him. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now let's read that one together, shall we? Ready, begin. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. All right, now find it and let's read it one more time. Ready, begin. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now here is a conditional promise. Conditional because of the first word, if. If a man keep my saying. What saying? The saying concerning him being the light of the world. The saying concerning him being the way to heaven. The saying concerning him being the bread of life. He said, if a man will keep this, if a man will believe this, John 8, 24, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. John 5, 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. To keep the words is to believe on the words of Christ and be saved. I'll share some tonight. What a blessing last Sunday morning to preach the gospel in another land and to see people receive Christ as their Savior. Why? Because they were hearing and keeping those words in their heart, putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what country one lives in, and it doesn't matter how much money one makes, and it doesn't matter how much sin someone has committed in their past, if they will believe that Jesus Christ is the only payment for their sin, then they will not see death, but they will live everlasting life. John 3:14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My friend, understand something this morning. God is not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that anyone here would die and go to hell. Oh, that's not his desire for you today. He does not want you living eternally without him. He loves you today. And he sent his son Jesus to shed his blood on an old rugged cross. There he died for your sin and for my sin. And if anyone believes this, they will not die eternally. They will live eternally by the grace and glory of God. It's a conditional promise. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, secondly, it's an eternal promise. Oh, I thank God for this. Notice it in verse 52. "Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death." You see, the fact is that Jesus was saying this. Oh, someone says, we might die physically. We may not. But if we die physically, we will never see eternal death. I want you to turn in your Bible briefly and quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I know it's in your notes, but you need to underline this if you haven't done so already. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. I want you to recognize there is a life after this life. And we're here today to get ready for eternity. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." That's the theme verse for our nursery ministry right there. We shall not all sleep. We will not all die for eternity. We will be changed, those that are in Christ. Verse 52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, someone says, those words don't interest me very much. The pastor seems excited about it, but I just hope he finishes in time for me to go have an early lunch. Now, let me tell you something, friend. Those words may not interest you right now. But I have stood behind this sacred desk more than 100 times and preached the homegoing services for men and women and boys and girls who have gone on to glory. And I want to tell you something. It does matter when someone dies that you can stand up and say to their loved ones, because your loved one had trusted Christ and had received the commandment concerning salvation. I want you to know death may not feel good to us in the present time, but we can rejoice for this fact that our loved one is now with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And this grave has no victory. And this funeral service is not something that will last forever. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It will matter someday. I recommend you listen to it right now. That one day this corruptible will put on incorruption. I'm talking to people with fillings in their teeth this morning. I'm talking to people with a sore back. I'm talking to people who've had tumors removed. I'm talking to people who've had sickness. I mean, I don't know if you're like me. Some mornings you get out of bed and it just takes about 5 minutes to get all the cracks out. The truth of the matter is this body is not incorruptible. It's corruptible. But one day this corruptible will put on incorruption. and we will see him, and we will be like him. And this is the promise of Jesus Christ to all who believe. They will have everlasting life. The promise of the Savior is that everyone who believes can be saved and have everlasting life. Oh, what a promise indeed. But notice finally this morning, the preexistence of our Savior. Do you know why I believe what Jesus teaches? Because he is not some Johnny-come-lately prophet, but he is eternal God. And only an eternal God can offer eternal life. We are not studying the teachings today of an 1800s circa prophet. We are not studying the teachings today of a 700 AD Mohammed prophet. We are not studying the teachings today of some other really good preacher. We are studying the words of eternal God. Before Abraham was, he was. And his name is Jesus. And his name is above every single name. And that's why we'll not worship him as just another one of the gods. But we worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is eternal. He can promise and he can deliver the promise. Now, notice if you would in this passage, Jesus is equal with the Father. Jesus is equal with the Father. Verse 54, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me." Please take note of that. The Father honors the Son. John 5:23, "He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father." Now, do you recognize that those who would sell the Watchtower magazines are selling a teaching that says that Jesus Christ is not an equal person of the Trinity, that he is not equal to the Father? Do you recognize that every false religion on planet Earth denies what I am preaching to you now? Colossians 2:9 says that in Christ dwelleth all the fullness, not some of it, but all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you understand? It's not just me today giving honor to Jesus, but that God the Father gave honor to God the Son. I'm saying to you, the Father honored the Son at his birth into this human race when he sent angels to declare glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I'm saying the Father honored the Son when he sent wise men to kneel down and worship him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm saying the Father honored him on the day of his baptism when from the heavens he declared, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." I'm saying the Father honored him on the day of transfiguration in Mark 9 and verse number 7 when a voice came out of the clouds saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." The Father honored him at death when he would not allow his body to see corruption. And the Father honored him at resurrection when he sent the angels to say, "He is not here, he is risen." Oh, do you understand today? If you want to be in sync with God, if you want to be in line with the scriptures, then you too will honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we thank God. The Father honors the Son and the Father knows the Son. Why? Because Jesus is equal with the Father. But may I say secondly, Jesus is eternal with the Father. He's eternal with the Father. Now notice that in our text, John chapter 8, verse 57. "Then the Jews said unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was," what are those next two words? "I am." Psalm 90 and verse 2. "Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Do you understand that Jesus Christ is our eternal God? Do you understand that he is eternally on the throne? Do you understand from Hebrews 1 and verse 8 that God the Father says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." And in John chapters number 5, John chapter 8, and John chapter 10, in all three of these chapters, Jesus Christ presents himself as the eternal Son of God. He presents himself as the light of the world. He presents himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And let me show you the response that he received every time. Look at the last verse of our text, verse 59. "Then took they up stones to cast at him." Isn't that amazing? the eternal Son of God, the one who would die on the cross for them, the one who came down to this sin-sick world to save them, they took up stones to cast him. Someone says, well, I would never do that. No, but you curse him. You take his name in vain. You choose other things before him. My friend, would I be allowed to say to you today that Jesus Christ will not settle for being one of the gods on your God shelf? He wants first place in your heart. That begins with trusting Christ as your Savior. And if you've never had that time in your life when you said, you know what? I know that I'm a sinner and I cannot get myself to heaven. I'm going to seek Christ and I'm going to believe his words that he is the resurrection and he is the life. If you've never had that time in your life when you were born again the Bible way, you can settle that today. And if you're here and you are saved, I wonder, friend, are you living your life in such a way that glorifies him? Do you seek always to please him? Would you this week seek to please and honor him in all that you do? For this is the chief end of man, that we would glorify God in all that we do.
Thank you again for taking time to join us for today's podcast. I trust your heart has been encouraged and challenged from the Word of God. If you have further questions about the Word of God or today's lesson, feel free to contact me at lancasterbaptist.org. Also, if you're not already receiving our daily devotional, log on to dailyintheword.org and subscribe today for a daily devotional that will come right to your desk, a word of encouragement from God's Word that will help you each and every day. And finally, if you're looking for more resources, Bible study tools, or books that will help you in the Christian life, you might visit strivingtogether.com. Striving Together publications exist to help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your hunger for the Word of God. May God richly bless you.